It's that feeling when you go to practice every day, you try your hardest, you hustle, but you just don't get off the bench very often. It's that feeling when you studied hard, you gave it all you could, you took the test and it came back, and it didn't come back very good. That feeling is discouragement. I don't have to define discouragement for anyone in this room because all of us face our fair share of discouragement. There was a man who left work one day. The boss was breathing down his neck. Things at home weren't going very well. He was very discouraged. And on the way home, he went by a little league ball field and saw some kids playing a ball game. And something just felt right to just stop. He hadn't watched kids play baseball in a long time. And so he pulled in the parking lot and he walked up to the bleachers behind the first base dugout, took a seat and was watching the kids play. And there was no scoreboard, so he was curious. He tapped one of the players through the fence on the shoulder in the dugout, said, "Hey, son, what's the score of this game?" And the little boy said, 14-0. We're losing. Big smile on his face. And the man said, "Well, you don't seem very discouraged." And he said, "Well, it's only top of the first. We haven't got to hit yet." And for you and I, that's the attitude we need to try to have. Because through Scripture, we're reminded of the hope that we have in a God that can help us through our discouragements. I won't sugarcoat it. Just because you're a follower of Christ doesn't all of a sudden mean you're going to have a smooth road. Christians and those who aren't, we're all similar in this regard, that we all face our share of discouragements. But it's when we have the hope of Christ in our life, we understand who God is and that He works in our life, that we can overcome our discouragements and be encouraged. And we're continuing looking at the life of Joseph. This morning we're going to be in Genesis chapter 39 and 40, looking at the discouragement that Joseph faced. And when we consider discouragement, it can be that monster in our life that holds us back. And in this series, we're talking about the things in life that hold us back, hold us hostage from being all that we can be in Christ, so that we can be molded by God through our ups and downs to be more like Christ. And, today, discouragement, is one that can really defeat us. It can deflate us. It can make things difficult. And it holds us back to the point that Satan can keep us there. And so we try to overcome this. And for Joseph, he had youthful optimism. He had 10 older brothers. They despised him, but he had a father that loved him more than the others. And so he had this youthful optimism. God had given him these dreams. At that point in time, he probably didn't quite know how to understand them, but he knew God was going to do something in his life, and then life happens. His brothers despise him to the point they want to kill him. They choose not to, but they sell him as a slave. If that wasn't bad enough, he's deceived, like we talked about last week with Potiphar's wife, and he's put into prison. And this wouldn't have been a situation like our prison system today. He wouldn't have had a cot to lay on. He'd have been laying on a cold, damp stone floor to rest his head at night. Parole dates? That wasn't in the picture. A retrial? That wasn't going to happen. His outlook was bleak. And he had all the opportunity in the world to be discouraged. But we're going to find this morning that he didn't get discouraged, because he knew a few things about God. In Genesis chapter 39, what we read last week at the end of verses 20 and 21 says this: Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. And when we read this, we see some positive things happening for him, even though he's in prison. But we kind of have the idea in our life that if God's going to make things better, then He's going to take whatever is discouraging me now and completely remove it and make things all better. But we see in the life of Joseph that God did not remove him completely from the discouraging situation. But while he was in the mess, God was at work. And for you and for me, while we're in that difficult situation, while we're discouraged, God is still working in our situation. It may not dramatically become all better, all what we want, but we can find encouragement to defeat our discouragement that God is still at work. And so the story picks up. We're going to read this morning what things were like for him while he was in prison. In Genesis chapter 40, we're going to start with verse 1 and read through this. So it says this, sometime later, and so we don't know how long sometime later is, perhaps a few months or a couple of years, but sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. And so we see here that while Joseph's in prison, he had all the reason in the world to curl up in the corner, pout, be upset, frustrated, discouraged. But he was still of use, and he made himself available. And so the prison warden, the person in charge, put him in charge of other prisoners. And after they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker, the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. And so once more, we're confronted with a dream. You remember, we started this story off, the introduction to Joseph. He had a dream. He had a dream, and he knew it was from God. He just didn't quite understand what it was leading him to. And so in verse 6, when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, why are your faces so sad today? And here Joseph is, been mistreated, taken advantage of, yet he was still looking to the concerns of someone else. And I think that speaks volumes to us. One of the greatest things you can do when you feel discouraged is to find someone else who's discouraged and try to help them. And so we see this in Joseph, that he's willing to help these two people. We both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. And then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. And so there we find it, that irregardless of his circumstances, he's not allowing his circumstances to drag him down. And he's encouraged that God is still in this because he remembers God. And this week or sometime next month, because we're at the end of January, you may be faced with the opportunity with someone that's in your family or a coworker or a friend who's discouraged, and they may be open to hearing about God. And you consider what's going on here. This cupbearer and this baker probably followed the little g gods of Egypt. They thought Pharaoh was God, and they worshipped other things. And here Joseph knows the capital G God, Jehovah God, and he finds an opportunity to speak God into their life. And for you and I, you may have family or friends or coworkers who worship lowercase g gods in their life. And they may be in a point in their life where they're discouraged and they're looking for something, and you'll have a window of opportunity to share who God is to them, what God means to you. And so the story continues. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore to your position. And you'll put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison, for I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. And so he interprets this dream, and I'm sure the cupbearer is overjoyed. In short order, I'll be restored. I'll be out of prison. This is fantastic news. And so the other guy's thinking, well, I had a dream. That sounded pretty good. I'm going to tell him mine. And so in verse 16, when the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. This is what it means, Joseph said. 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off of your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh." And the following verses explain that that's what come to be. What a difference one word can make, lift up or lift off. But nonetheless, Joseph interpreted these dreams, and it came to be as it had been said. And he skipped down to verse 23. You remember, Joseph told the cupbearer, "Remember me. Tell him what I'd done for you. It'd be pretty important, because it would get me out of here." And in verse 23, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And the clock kept ticking. Minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, and then year by year. Joseph was forgotten. His brothers forgot him. Perhaps his father had forgotten about him. It had been so long. Now the cupbearer's forgotten. And man, the discouragement could really set in. I would imagine on that third day when the cupbearer left, he just knew within a few hours, I'm going to hear footsteps coming down into the jail cell, and they're going to have a key in their hand, they're going to unlock this, and I'll be a free man. And I'm sure later in the day, he listened for those footsteps, and every time, the person passed right on by. That'd be discouraging. That would be defeating. And for you and I, the discouragement comes, the footsteps come, and we think, is that the footsteps that are going to release me from this situation? Are things going to get better? And we sit and wonder. Now, this morning, I want to give you a few phrases that perhaps helped Joseph, and I believe they will help you when you face discouragement, because it's going to happen this week. The first is this, and this is familiar. It could be worse. When we face a discouraging moment, situation, confrontation, whatever it is, remind yourself that it could be worse. This is a good tool in the toolbox of the Christian's life. That I know I have my faith and hope and trust in God, and as I survey my situation, I understand it could be worse. For Joseph, he may have phrased it like this: it can't get any worse. This is about, besides death, this is about as bad as it can get. Yet we see a man who kept his faith in God and didn't become discouraged. He knew, the cupbearer forgot me. My family's forgotten me. More or less, I'm a man stranded on an island by myself. I'm a lost person to this world, but I'm not a lost person to God. God is still working in my situation. And trying to keep a clear perspective in the face of our discouragement, it's not easy. But we can help keep that focus if we kind of speak to ourselves that this could be worse. Another phrase that can help us is to say, "The Lord is with me." So far in the story of Joseph, the writer of this story has told us four different times so far that the Lord was with Joseph. Why did he have success? Lord with Joseph. How did Joseph keep his perspective? How did he keep his faith? He knew that the Lord was with him. And for you, it's the same. Tell yourself, "The Lord is with me." And it may help you through your discouraging times. If our outlook on life and on God is based solely on our circumstances that we're in, we're going to live a discouraged, defeated, miserable life. But if our outlook is based on our relationship with God and who He is and what He can do in your life, that'll make all the difference. To speak the truth, God's word, into your own life and maybe into someone else's life, "The Lord is with me," or "The Lord is with you." If you claim that promise of God, that'll help you overcome your discouragement. And something even greater is this: while God is always with you, when you're a Christian, God is always in you. Jesus told his disciples before his death, "I will send someone to you greater than I am," and that is the Holy Spirit of God that resides in the Christian as a counselor, as someone who guides and directs who you are and who you can be. And that's a great promise of God, that the Lord is with me. And when we're in the depths of our discouragement, Satan will not let up the temptation. Satan will not let up how he's deceiving you. He will try to keep you there as long as he can. But you remind yourself, while Satan may be present, also is the Lord. And Christ has overcome Satan. and he can do remarkable things through you. So don't live in your discouragement. I would imagine Joseph had this mentality. I can only do what I can do, but I know God can take care of the rest. Why? Because the Lord is with me. And something that you discover as you read through the Bible is that God cares more about what's happening inside you than what's happening to you. And I think we get that mixed around. It's the things that happen to us that God can use to make you who you are on the inside, to be more of a reflection of Christ. And so don't let your life situations discourage you and get you down. Remind yourself that the Lord is with me. And this can be a slow, painful process with certain situations. You consider Joseph. He was 17 years old when his brothers sold him as a slave. We'll discover next week when he's released from prison, he's 30 years old. That's 13 years of ups and downs, of frustrations, of people turning against him. And so, we see a man that kept his encouragement. The last phrase that I want to give you this morning is this: it's all going to work out. Now, when I took Bible college classes, pastoral care classes, this was a phrase that they would tell you, you really shouldn't tell this to people. Like if I visit someone in the hospital and they're very bad off, I'm not going to tell them, you know, it's going to work out. It's kind of patronizing. It's not really something you want to hear. But it's something that you should tell yourself. It's something that you should speak to yourself when you're feeling discouraged. Have some confidence in who God is, that this is going to work out, that God's at work in this. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And things will work out, either this side of eternity or the other side of eternity. There may be some things this side of eternity, on this planet, in this life, that don't turn out how we think they should. But we know, once we go to heaven, that God will transform and make all things new. He will take away all pain and suffering. So one way or the other, it's going to work out. But it takes that Christian maturity in this life to not be discouraged with the things that we know maybe won't change. But I do know one day when I'm in heaven, this life, your 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years on this earth, won't even be a thought. Because we'll be in eternity with God. And so it's during the waiting times that God accomplishes what he wants through us. And, well, there's two things when it comes to this. We want things to work out, and we ask how and when. Probably more we ask, when is this going to end? When is my suffering going to be over? When is this going to happen for me? When is this going to happen for my loved one? And we're impatient people. You go to the grocery store, you don't walk, after you get your cart filled, you don't walk the aisles, oh, that line's got the most people in it, I'm going to go get in that line. We don't do that. We scan the aisle looking for, oh, there's no one there. And we cut somebody off to get up there so we can start unloading our groceries. And then you get behind that person, and they pull out their checkbook. And you're thinking, this is 2019, why are you writing a check? And then they go as far as they write out the check, and then they balance it while they're still in line. You're thinking, oh, come on, I got places to go. And then you get in your car, and you head down the road, and you see a red light, and you figure out, I could cut through the gas station, and I could get around this red light. Anybody do that? I know you do. We're impatient people. We want it now. We want it in our timing. And if we rely on our timing and our impatience, then we're going to find ourselves even more discouraged, even more held back. So remind yourself, it's all going to work out. Defeat your discouragement. And for Joseph, he simply took the focus off of himself and put his focus on God. He took his focus off of his plight, his difficult situations, his frustrations. And we see a man who put his focus on the Lord, for God to guide and direct him, because he knew God had given him a vision, a plan, and that held him up. In 1905, His Eyes on the Sparrow was written. This is an interesting story. There was a woman by the name of Mrs. Martin. Mrs. Martin was a preacher's wife, and she would go and visit Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle often. Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle were homebound. Mrs. Doolittle, for 20 years, had been bed-stricken. She couldn't get out of bed. Her husband had been wheelchair-bound for those 20 years, and Miss Doolittle, well, she had an upbeat attitude, and so did her husband. And one day, Mrs. Martin went to visit, and she asked, "How is it you're always upbeat? How is it you have this attitude about God that you do through all that you have to endure?" And she said, "If his eye is on the sparrow, I know that his eye is on me." And so she went home that day and started thinking about, what are the things that discourage me? And so she wrote this song, and the first line says, "Why are those things that discourage me? What are those things?" This morning, Jerry is going to play this song for us. And I hope as he plays this song, that this song would, in a way, preach a sermon to you.
All set. Why should I be discouraged? And why should the shadows fall? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And I sing because I'm happy. Well, I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. These tender words I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. For by the path he leadeth, but one step that I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Well, I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Well, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Choice is yours this morning. Will you choose to be encouraged? Because you have a Lord and Savior and a God that wants to encourage you. He wants you to recognize that He is always with you and that you don't have to be held back by the discouragements that we face. I found this on the internet. You can find good things out there if you look for them. I want to close the message with this. One Sunday morning at a small southern church, the new preacher called on one of his older deacons to lead in the opening prayer. The deacon stood up and he bowed his head and said, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The pastor opened one eye and wondered, "Where is this going?" The deacon continued, "Lord, I hate lard." Now the pastor was totally perplexed and thought he had made a terrible decision. The deacon continued, "Lord, I ain't too crazy about plain flour. But after you mix them all together and bake them in a hot oven, I just love biscuits." "Lord," he continued, "help us to realize when life gets hard, when things come up that we don't like, whenever we don't understand what you're doing, that we need to wait and see what you're making. After you get through mixing and baking it, it'll probably be something even better than biscuits. Amen." I don't know what God's doing in your life right now. I don't know what trials you're facing, what discouragement you have, but be reminded that the Lord is with you. Remind yourself, "I'm going to get through this." Remind yourself of the promises of God. Remind yourself of the story of Joseph. Don't live in discouragement, but overcome that and be encouraged. This morning we're singing a song of invitation, offering the opportunity for you to receive Christ, the Lord and Savior, the only one that can save you from your sins, and as accomplished through confessing Him as your Lord and Savior and being immersed, being baptized in Christ's name, buried in a watery grave, raised to a new life in Christ, and indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and the promise that your sins have been wiped clean, and the promise of eternity in heaven with God. We give you that option this morning if you would choose to accept Christ. And this morning, if you've already made that decision, I pray as we sing the song of invitation that you would find even more encouragement knowing who you are in Christ. And if you're a Christian and you're looking for a church home to be a part of, we have arms wide open to receive you as a member of the Painted Christian Church as well if you feel led to make that decision. So let's go ahead and stand together this morning and let's worship together.